Good morning. My name is Storm, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the CanCare 2.0 implementation conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, you may press the pound key. Thank you. Ms. Becky Ross, the floor is yours, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us again on our weekly rapid response call for CanCare implementation. Just to let you know, we're continuing these calls through February, same day, Thursday, same time, 9 o'clock, same number, which is posted on the CanCare website. Also, a reminder that the recordings and transcripts of these calls are also posted on the CanCare website. And one more reminder that open enrollment continues through April 3rd for CanCare. So if folks are interested in choosing a different MCO, they can do that up to that date. So with that, I'll turn it over to Sunflower for their update.
Good morning. This is Stephanie Rasmussen with Sunflower Health Plan. Our update item this morning is a follow-up to the call last week, and that the load of authorizations for individuals that we had moved from Amerigroup to Sunflower has successfully occurred within the Authenticare system. If you recall, we were having some issues last week and let you know that we would keep you updated about that. We did send out a provider bulletin last Friday and wanted to confirm that those authorizations are now in the Authenticare system. If you have any issues with obtaining access to any authorization, you can contact your Sunflower HCBS provider rep or call our Authenticare authorization line to receive assistance. And Becky, that's all I have for this morning.
Thanks, Stephanie. Now I'll turn it over to Keith Wisdom for Aetna's update.
Hello. I had discussed last week the authorizations were successfully in at the for the HCBS providers in Authenticare. Early last week, we did determine that the FMS authorizations had not passed to Authenticare. So we are in the process of correcting that. The authorization file will send to First Data by the end of day today. We expect them to show up in the system tomorrow, but it could take a day longer than that. So so this is just for FMS authorizations. Those were missing in Authenticare, and we're on a path to a solution. We also have discussed in prior weeks the PCP assignments. In that many members for the prior carrier were assigned to groups, not individuals, and for HEDIS and NCQA, we want individual PCP provider assignments for all our members. And so there were some new cards that were sent this week and next week, ID cards with individual PCP names. And just like always, a member is welcome to see anyone within that PCP practice, within that facility that has multiple PCPs. We're not trying to limit that. We used claims logic and everything else to get to the most accurate individual provider, but the normal rules of being able to see anyone in that practice still apply. So, and as always, members are welcome to call and change their PCP if they wish to see a new one. And then just on the claims payment front, we talked previously that a large volume of claims are, you know, coming in and getting paid. And so we're over 46,000 paid claims at this point across the spectrum of provider types. Just wanted to give you some sense of the volume that's coming through, and that is accelerating and should as providers get used to sending to us and we get more volume of services going. So look forward to continuing that rise. And I think that's it. That FMS authorizations, Becky does address the one outstanding issue that was on the log. So that should close the loop on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Now I'll ask Candace Cobb from First Data to provide any updates from her end.
Good morning. This is Candace. First Data has been working with all three MCOs for those outlier issues. Stephanie, thank you for your report. I can tell you that early morning, 125, 3,785 sunflower authorizations had come in, you know, in the middle of the night. So providers should have been able to view those, and that took care of that issue from last week. So that would have been 125, which would have been last Friday. I do want to say that we've had some issues with each one of the MCOs, not just with Aetna. So please know that we are working closely with those of you who have reported those, as well as the applicable MCO. I would ask providers to please contact our help desk with these issues. With me on a copy is fine. But the reason the help desk is so important to you is that they open tickets and we track those and can report when those tickets have been closed. The AuthentiCare support email is authenticare.support@firstdata.com. That is monitored Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. The AuthentiCare support 800 number, 1-800-441-4667, is monitored 24/7. So please use those two contact entities so that we can track your tickets and make sure that we have the authorizations that you need. We've had some reports of authorizations that do not have the same number of units, either they're one or two units off. So those are important to talk to your HCBS rep at the applicable MCO. It could be a difference in the way calculations are made. So please do bring those up because we want to assure that transition, that 90-day transition of care for each one of your HCBS consumers. And as always, if you have any questions or problems, you can also email me at candace.cobb@firstdata.com or put me on copy for those help desk issues. My phone number is 1-785-727-6044. Thank you.
Thanks, Candace. And my apologies, I skipped over United, so we'll turn to Carrie Kimes for United's update.
Thanks, Becky. We just have one item this week just to kind of close the loop on our open issue with duplicate authorizations that got loaded for our HCBS providers. And that also tied to the one issue we had from providers last week, Advocate Care Services. We did confirm that we have all of the duplicate auths indated as of today. Due to the way our system works, we don't delete those. We just put an end date in. So starting tomorrow, those duplicate auths will be out of the system. We did follow up with Jennifer at Advocate Care Services as Jackie was not available. To review that with them, let them know how we could work through any individual specific concerns that they had. But as far as we can tell, that issue will be fully resolved by first thing tomorrow. As always, providers can reach out to myself or Jeff Stafford or their HCBS provider advocate if they have concerns with the HCBS authorizations. But we think that is now fully resolved. And that is our only item for today, Becky.
Okay. Thanks, Carrie.
You bet.
So, Sean, I think we're ready to open up for questions.
Yes, and everyone, if you would like to ask the question over the phone, you may press star, then the number one in your telephone keypad. Again, if you would like to ask the question, you may press star, then the number one in your telephone keypad. I'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. We have a question online. Please state your first and last name. Your line is open.
This is Shirley Gamble from Sterling Medical Center. And I have a question for Aetna. It is regarding the provider portal. When we're searching for our patients on there and to bring up the information, under HEDIS, it is showing that there's no data found. Are there other areas where we could find the care gap opportunities so we can try to close these gaps when we're seeing these patients?
Keith? This is Keith Wisdom. So we'll need to investigate that issue and see if it's a portal functionality issue or if the claims history has been loaded to that. Obviously, we don't have adequate claims history from our own experience the first month to populate that. So we will investigate and get back with you.
Okay. My second question is, again, about the portal. It gives us an opportunity to view the patient's ID card, but I am not able to print that card, and it would be great if we could be able to print it, because even though it is requested that they bring their cards with them, many of them do not for various reasons.
And, again, on that one, we will check on the functionality and the feasibility of that request.
Thank you.
And we'll be back in touch with you.
Okay.
We have your number from, I think, previous calls, right?
That is correct.
I'd say let's get it.
Okay, just to be sure, one more time.
620-278-2123.
All right. Thank you, Shirley.
You're welcome.
Okay, we have another question. Your line is open. You may ask your question. Please state your first and last name. We have a question online. Please state your first and last name. Your line is open.
This is Carrie Eisenzimmer with Physician Practice Management, and my question's for Keith Wisdom. I just wanted to check on the PCPs with the cards and that with Aetna, and you say that the people will be able to see anybody in the practice. So if the card doesn't have somebody in the practice, is that a problem if we see them? Should we be getting a referral?
No. If the physicians in the practice are not the PCP on the ID card, the claim won't deny for a service that doesn't need authorization. She would only need to get authorizations based on the normal authorization criteria for in-network providers during this 90-day transition to care period. And then, if in-network after that period, it's still just the in-network things that need the normal list. It does not prevent them from seeing another PCP in a practice not listed on their card. But we would encourage, if that's a permanent change in PCP, for the member to please call us so we can get the records updated.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
We have another question online from Mr. John Grace. Your line is open.
Okay. Thank you. My name is John Grace. I'm an executive with a nonprofit organization called Sunporch, and we are the manager of three facilities in Kansas: Sunporch of Dodge City, Sunporch of Smith Center, and the Cheyenne County Village in St. Francis. These are all small facilities. The Cheyenne County Village is 30 beds. The Sunporch of Smith Center is 23 beds. And the Dodge City facility is 36 beds. So it, as small facilities, it is extremely important for us when we have 50% Medicaid to be able to get our claims processed properly and to get payment on a regular basis. So each of those facilities were involved with a former owner, and we took over those facilities. So the transition of the old owner to the new owner is a process that I think really needs to be looked at by each of the MCOs, and it should be clearly identified and described so that the when the change of ownership occurs, that everyone, the old owner and the new owner, has a complete and full understanding of how the enrollment or how the transfer to the MCOs would take place. We've found in each of these facilities, each of the MCOs have a different process, have a different way of dealing with that. And when you're working with the state, which has their own process for change of ownership, and the MCOs, and you've got telephone calls flying back and forth and emails going back and forth, at the same time, you've got payments not coming. And when you're a small facility and you go for a month without payments of three or four people, it's very, very traumatic on that organization. So that's a comment that I have. And then secondly, on the HCBS program and the enrollment in the assisted living or residential care, each of the MCOs seems to have a payment program for that. And there's a process for an assisted living building to enroll in the program with the state. But I find that process, again, very confusing, very unclear, and it's on the part of both the state and the MCOs. Now, just from a policy standpoint, if the state as a policy would like to encourage people to be in the appropriate setting, then the process should be clearly laid out, and it should be completed in a timely way. And so we have we have assisted living in two of our campuses. We have assisted living in one, and then we have some apartments in another one. So what I would like to have is a clear process identified by the state and the MCOs on how you enroll your assisted living, or how you would have a resident, a potential resident for an assisted living, be able to access a payment through the MCO. And I don't know if that's out there. If it's out there, then I'd like to have someone show it to me and each of the MCOs, you know, lay it out. But also, I'd like to know, just from the policy standpoint, how many people are we enrolling in assisted living under the HCBS program? Where can I find that data? And what are the payment rates that are being paid for those people? And so those are my comments this morning.
Thank you, John. You know, related to enrollment in Medicaid, you can always go to KMAP. We have information there about how to enroll. There are also provider manuals. And I'll let our KDADS folks chime in here in a minute, but in terms of individuals accessing HCBS, that always starts with a screening through the ADRC. So your local ADRC office, which is located at the AAA in your facilities areas, does the screening for individuals to determine if they're eligible for HCBS. And that's the process that starts whether or not someone can access HCBS funding, whether it's for assisted living or any other HCBS service. So I'll let KDADS chime in if they need to, and then we'll see what the MCOs have to say.
Hi, this is Amy Penrod from KDADS. John, if you have particular cases that you're interested in that need some assistance, you can certainly feel free to email me. Be happy to help work through that. But Becky is correct. The kind of entry to HCBS is to have that functional assessment via the ADRC.
And what's your phone number?
My phone number is 785-296-0141. My email address is amy.penrod, P-E-N-R-O-D, with the number 1 after it, numeric number 1, at ks.gov.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have another question. Comes from Newman Regional Health. If your line is open, you may ask your question.
Hi, this is Maggie. This question is for Aetna. We are not a contracting provider with the new Aetna Better Health. Are we able to log on and register on the provider portal?
Yes. When your provider record has been loaded, you will have the ability to register in our provider portal. The normal process is to call a 1-800 number and select the provider experience helpline, and they can walk you through that sign-up process.
Okay, what's that phone number?
Just a second. Sorry about that. We should have it memorized, but we don't. Just a second. It's 1-855-221-5656, and that's the 1-800 number you can find on Aetna Better Health of Kansas website. And it's the same number for member or provider services. It's just through the the menu tree you'll get to the right group of people to help you with that. If you have problems with that, you can reach out to our contracting team later, but that team signs up people for the portal every day.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, again, if you would like to ask the question, you may press star then the number 1 in your telephone keypad. Okay, we have a question. Comes from the line of Roberta Rim. Your line is open.
Yeah, this is Roberta Ryan with Kansas Spine and Specialty Hospital in Wichita, and I was just wondering what the status is of finalizing contracts and communication with the providers in respect to that.
Are you asking related to Aetna?
Yes, I'm sorry, for Aetna, yes.
Roberta, you give us your phone number and we'll reach out to directly and we can tell you of your status. The 1-855 number I talked about, that line can also update you on status, but we're glad to reach back out to you. We'd mentioned at a previous call that the provider welcome packets will be distributed during February to that will kind of wrap up the process with all the instructions in verifying that you're a provider. But we have thousands of providers loaded but we'll reach out to you and verify your status for you. Can we get a number to reach you at?
316-462-5331.
Thank you, Roberta. Somebody will call today.
Yeah. So what you're telling me is that you feel like by February sometime you'll have everybody contracted?
So we have a very robust network contracted and actually loaded. It's the wrap-up communication piece. There are some providers still in credentialing. There's a smaller subset still being loaded, but for the most part, the vast majority is loaded, and so it's the wrap up process of the member, I'm sorry, the provider welcome packet, and returning you a signed contract and those sorts of things that are the final pieces that haven't been done, but that doesn't change your status as whether or not you're contracted and loaded. And so we'll get you that information. That's what I think you're most concerned about, and we'll be able to verify that for you.
Okay, that'll be fine. Thanks.
Sure.
Again, if you would like to ask the question, you may press star then the number one in your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time. Presenter, please continue.
All right. Thank you. Thank you all for joining us today. Please remember that we have these calls every Thursday at 9 o'clock. And thank you and have a great day.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Thank you, everyone.